Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Senate Bill 1438 authorizes the Department of Business and Professional Regulation to fine, suspend, or revoke the license of any public lodging establishment or public food service establishment if the establishment admits a child to a live adult performance that depicts or simulates nudity, sexual conduct, or lewd exposure. The bill also allows the department to suspend or revoke an alcohol beverage license if a child is admitted to a live adult performance. The bill further provides that it is a third-degree felony for a person to knowingly admit a child to an adult live performance that depicts or simulates nudity, sexual conduct, or lewd exposure.
All right. This is one of those bills where it's SB 1438, and that's Clay Yarborough in the Senate talking about this the other day. This is one of those bills where you would think, you know, Melander, you're a social conservative, right? Right. You think there's a whole lot of things that most people think are okay that you don't think are okay, especially for kids. Right, right. Okay, good. Do you think that we ought to have a bill taking away people's ability to do business as a restaurant or a bar if you have kids come in and they attend drag shows? No. Too far. And look, are there some cases where a drag show might be an inappropriate place for... Oh, of course. I mean, of course. But generally speaking, the drag shows that I have seen, and even some of the ones I've seen online, you know, no. And also, the problem is parental rights. Well, Andrew, I thought you said on the, like, transgender surgery and hormone stuff that you think that it's appropriate for Florida to ban that for minors. I do. Why? Because those are serious interventions in the biochemistry or the physical body of a minor. And no minor should have that done, even with their parents' consent. Let them wait until they're 18. Well, in this case, you're going to let parents bring their... Yeah, because taking a kid to a burlesque show that has people cross-dressing is wildly different by orders of magnitude for them putting a child under a surgical knife to add and remove body parts. And if you can't see that, that's a massive distinction. You know, like, you don't have to agree with me that the drag show is okay, maybe, to tolerate. Not to endorse. I'm not endorsing it. I'm saying you have to make decisions about which values are the most important ones. And parental rights really mean something. And if they do really mean something, they mean letting kids be raised in ways that you disagree with. Just like you would say, you know, I wouldn't take my kids when they were 10 to an R-rated movie, okay? And we didn't let them watch sex scenes at home when they came up on TV, even if it was in otherwise movies, even, you know, kissy-kissy scenes, typically, when they were younger, because we just didn't want to expose them to sexuality. We figured that they were going to get that enough when they were older. They didn't need it when they were kids, okay? So that's our way of parenting our kids. Other parents, I don't know, my mom, you know, allowed me to watch anything and everything when I was a kid. And, you know, I saw it young. Do I think that made me a better person? No, I think that made for problems for me. Why do you think I prohibit my kids? But it's a very different thing for me to say, I don't think my kids should be watching this, to therefore saying, or even to say what I would say, which is, I don't think any kids should be watching this. Okay? But that's a very different thing from saying, I think the state should be prohibiting you from letting your kids watch that. Now, there are some things they certainly shouldn't be allowed to watch. I mean, actual pornography. And let me tell you, there's a lot of R-rated movies that are actually pornographic, okay? But, you know, they shouldn't be going to strip clubs. But that's already prohibited, right? That stuff's already prohibited. So, in my opinion, this is a case where the Republicans, again, with a three-quarters majority, supermajority in the House and the Senate, are overreaching. Clay Yarborough defends his bill.
Parents have the right to raise their children as they see fit, and government intervention should be a last resort. As lawmakers, we have a responsibility to protect children from viewing lewd conduct that is patently offensive to prevailing standards in our communities. Therefore, we have to take it seriously when a business knowingly admits children to view performances meant for an adult audience. Madam President, that is the bill.
And I think we should take it seriously. I just don't think we should be banning it.
If I, as a parent, take my child to an R-rated movie, could the movie theater be tried under this provision?
That's not an adult live performance as we define it in our bill, Senator Berman. That would not fit in what we're doing in this bill.
Yeah, but you're missing the point of the question. Like, yes, it falls outside the scope of your bill. She's asking for a, you know, logical consistency. That's what she's saying. What difference does it make that it's somebody dancing on a stage 3 feet from you versus dancing on a screen 30 feet from you? And the answer is nothing. There's no difference between them, but you don't see it, okay? Now, if you want to actually understand, you know, what are the violations, Clay Yarbrough actually listed them out.
We have the definition for what an adult live performance is. Line 75 of the bill means any show, exhibition, or other presentation in front of a live audience which in whole or in part depicts or simulates nudity, sexual conduct, sexual excitement, specific sexual activities as those terms are defined in 847.001, lewd conduct or the lewd exposure or prosthetic or imitation genitals or breasts when it, and then there's three descriptors, predominantly appeals to a prurient, shameful, or morbid interest. Number two, is patently offensive to prevailing standards in the adult community of the state as a whole with respect to what is suitable material or conduct for the age of the child present. And number three, taken as a whole, is without serious literary, artistic, political, or scientific value for the age of the child present.
So that's the Miller test for obscenity, right? That's what that is. It comes from the Supreme Court case. And the whole idea there is that, you know, there are certain kinds of nudity that are acceptable. The Statue of David, by the way. And there are other kinds of nudity that are not acceptable. In fact, there are some kinds of behavior that are clearly not nudity, but are definitely sexual and are, you know, way more dangerous than anything that just happens to contain nudity, like a Schindler's List, for example, or the comic book Mouse based on the Holocaust, right? It has nudity in it, but that doesn't mean that it's a prurient interest designed to arouse illicit sexual desire. So back to the Democrats kind of asking their questions. Tina Scott-Polsky, a liberal Democrat.
I still don't understand who makes the decision on what's considered lewd. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the Rocky Horror Picture Show. That's a movie, but sometimes it's acted live at the same time. It's pretty aggressive. Some people would think it's art. Some people would think it's lewd. Who makes the decision?
That is a movie that you have mentioned. So we're talking about adult live performances. But if you're talking about if that type of content was portrayed in a show or exhibition, like what we talk about in the bill, which would be a live performance, then if there was a complaint that was brought into DBPR, then they would investigate.
All right, I'm going to go out on a very stout, short limb here and guess two things. Number one, Clay Yarbrough has never seen the Rocky Horror Picture Show. and I think I'm on even safer ground saying that he's never been to the theater for a performance of the Rocky Horror Picture Show, or he would have understood that she was not asking a question about merely the movie. She was asking a question about all of the behavior surrounding the movie, where people act out parts and scenes.
I was just trying to picture him doing the time warp.
It's lewd as hell. I mean, it is lewd as hell for sure. But the point is, it's a movie with live performance elements, the way it's typically done. And, you know, he clearly doesn't grasp that question, which is fine. I mean, people don't know what they don't know. I thought it was interesting because it wasn't just that he's never been to one, but he didn't seem to know that was true. You know, that's the kind of thing that, I mean, I've never been to a live performance of the Rocky Horror Picture Show, okay? But I know what it is. You know, I've seen the movie, just not seen it in, you know, the theater like that. So anyway, which I feel like is a bit of a mark of shame. Like I probably ought to at some point have. Anyway, Tina Scott-Polsky says, you know, what about the play Chicago? What about Hair? What about? And here's my question that they didn't ask. Okay, that I think somebody should have asked. What if you have, let's say, any band in the universe with female dancers performing at a bar? Because, by the way, the question of, like, at a concert venue, that had been my original question, is, you know, Taylor Swift concerts can be a little, you know, they're a little PG-13 at times. They're certainly not the worst of it, but have you seen a Beyonce concert? Have you seen a Madonna concert? Have you seen any female performance artist in music these days? Have you seen a Lizzo concert? I mean, my God, right? These would all be banned under this, but it's not for theaters. It's not for concert venues. It's for bars and restaurants. Okay, so they'd have to occur at a bar and a restaurant. But, you know, philosophically, same point. How many 15 and 16-year-olds are going to these concerts? Thousands. So where's the philosophical consistency here? Well, they're very much trying to single out this one particular thing, drag shows. And he has no answer for this question other than that the bill does not address that. So that's one slice of the issues, okay? And also the various questions about, you know, well, why is a movie okay, but a live performance of the same is not okay? But there's a whole other side to this. And Jason Pizzo, who, again, I believe he was a former cop, investigator, something like that. And he's always pretty good on the legal stuff. There's a statute in the law right now in the 800s where it talks about this stuff already, and it prohibits this stuff already, including, like, you can't sell a video cassette of porn, basically, to a kid. You know, it's to protect that kind of stuff as well. But there's a built-in exemption in that law for when you're with your parents. And he's saying, well, so your statute says the exact opposite of the existing statute. I'm a cop trying to figure out what I do with a situation. You tell me, what's the answer?
In 847.013 subsection B, and man, it's been a long time since we took a look at this one because it still says video cassette. A person may not knowingly rent or sell or loan to a minor for monetary consideration a video cassette or videotape of a motion picture or similar presentation which whole in part depicts nudity, sexual conduct, sexual excitement, battering, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the beginning of that subsection is about not just a motion picture, which I will concede to you is not in the bill, but it also includes exhibition, show, representation, or other presentation, which whole or in part may expose nudity. Here's my question. If my dad's there or my mom's there, is this point moot and not applicable?
I think Jason Pizzo himself is an adult, so it doesn't apply to him, but you get the point. It says when your parents are with you, it's okay. And then we have this new bill that'll be passed. It's going to be passed. That's going to say when your parents are with you, that's not enough. It's not okay. So we're going to have law directly conflicting with law in the state of Florida. And they had no answer for that. It was like he didn't know this was an issue. So I don't know if they're going to try to remedy this bill or not, but this is a problem. And again, it comes back to a thing that Republicans historically have been very much in favor of, which is parental rights. And parental rights only mean something if it means protecting the behavior of parents that you disagree with. It does not mean that you have to protect all the behavior of parents you disagree with, just like believing in freedom doesn't mean that you have to affirm every form of freedom. But there has to be some kind of recognition that other parents are going to do things with their kids that you do not like, you might even think are atrocious, because you would never do them with your kids, but that's very different from saying the state should prohibit all parents from doing them with any kids. 437-1620, 437-1620. Feel free to disagree with me, as always, or ask questions. I'm Andrew McKay. And when you think about BMW and Porsche and Mercedes-Benz, Audi, Genesis, Jaguar, Lexus, you know, really good imports that people pay a little bit extra to get because they want that exotic whatever and, you know, performance. Guess what? When you take them in for maintenance, you don't have to take them to the dealership. You can take them to Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. They work on those cars all the time. You don't have to drive to Mobile if that's where the dealership is. You know, that's the time. That's the extra expense. That's the money and all of that that it takes to drive over there, all of that stuff. You take them right here to Bobby Likas. Same thing for the diesel engines. Like, you know, the trucks work great when they work great, and when they don't work great, it's kind of a, you know, it's a problem. So don't take them to the dealership, or at least you don't have to. Take them to Bobby Likas. CarClinicService.com is the website. The philosophy there is kind of like a healthcare clinic for your car, to see them for the little stuff so you don't have to see them for the big stuff. 2021 Carfax rated them a top-rated service center, 4.5 average reviews or above. Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway.
I can't wait for what's next. Even with higher stroke risk due to atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem, Eliquis, apixaban tablets, reduces stroke risk. It's the number one cardiologist prescribed blood thinner.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without talking to your doctor, as this may increase your risk of stroke. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or have antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or unusual bruising, or if you have tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. It may increase your bleeding risk if you take medicines such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELOQUIS.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Ego Wahooza, the biggest egg hunt on the Gulf Coast, is Saturday morning at Community Maritime Park. It's a free event for your kids, walkers through fifth grade. See PensacolaChurch.org for more. Trinity Presbyterian Church on Bayou's Jelly Bean 5K is Saturday morning at the church, benefiting church projects. Register at TrinityPcola.com. Submit your event at NewsRadio923.com.
Sometimes a family needs a little help to deal with life stresses. You can contribute to happy, healthy childhoods with a few simple steps. Notice families under stress. Offer a helping hand. Give your time. Talk about healthy child development. Connect a family with resources. Contributing to a great childhood can be as easy as being a good neighbor. For more, PreventChildAbuseFL.org. This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620.
Morning, 5:26 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. There's a weird weather system to our west on the News Radio ThreatNet radar, but it's not moving towards us. It's moving like north by northeast. So it's all over Louisiana right now, and it's cycling up through like Jackson, Mississippi, and then towards Birmingham and north of Birmingham. So it's not anywhere in southeastern Mississippi, the coast, or in Alabama. And it doesn't look like it's really heading there, but we are kind of keeping our eye on conditions later tonight as this thing kind of gradually migrates a little bit to the east as, again, it is cycling to the north. So just kind of maybe be aware of that towards the evening tonight. Also, interesting, just to follow up on the drag shows, Candy, do you want to say what you told me off the air? Or you don't want to say what you. I'm with the Democrats on this one, that this bill is inappropriate, and you're more with the Republicans on this
which
one.
Which
it makes you so unhappy.
I know. I was like, I don't know. I saw when I was like 4 or 5 years, like Ronald McDonald scared me, and I know it's not the same thing, but like we had like geisha girls in our China cabinet and stuff, and just. I don't know. That stuff just scared me.
Okay.
And then saw Rocky Horror when I was at 10. It was on Fame.
Oh,
the
yeah,
movie
okay.
Fame.
I gotcha.
And I just wanted to do it so bad. And then you finally see the movie and you're like, oh my gosh, wow. I can't believe I saw it when I was 10.
This is more than I thought.
And you know me, I'm pretty hippy dippy about
yep,
a lot
right.
of stuff. So. I don't know. I think it would.
Everybody's in an awkward place today. It's good. I like it.
Who are
that
you?
That means we're thinking individually about the circumstances and trying to judge appropriately based on the particulars of the situation. Yeah. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
House Republicans have issued a subpoena in their investigation of the New York DA's office that brought charges against former President Trump. House Judiciary Chair Jim Jordan of Ohio subpoenaed former Manhattan prosecutor Mark Pomerantz to testify before the committee. Jordan says his public statements about the investigation suggest the case against Trump is politically motivated. Tennessee Republicans expelled two Democrats after they protested in the House chambers for gun control. Republican resolutions in Tennessee in the House said the lawmakers knowingly and intentionally brought disorder and dishonor to the Tennessee state chamber.
Did you watch any of the videos of the actual protest of them with like the bullhorn in the well in the House or just like holding hands
not.
And chanting on the House floor? Okay, I'll reserve because we're in the newscast. I have thoughts about this, but go ahead.
All right. Well, and it's been a bad week for Anheuser-Busch. Of course, earlier this week, Kid Rock did the little video shooting the Bud Light cans. Well, now country entertainers Travis Tritt and John Rich also speaking out against Anheuser-Busch and their decision to work with Dylan Mulvaney. It's had a lot of backlash on social media. Travis Tritt tweeted that he's removing the beer maker's products from his tour hospitality rider. And John Rich says he's pulling Bud Light products from the Redneck Riviera, his honky tonk in Nashville.
All right. Go ahead. I think Candy wants to weigh in.
I do. First off, and I love John Rich, so whatever. But Travis Tritt's a He played the Pensacola Interstate Fair.
Okay.
And he called off his show because they were running the helicopter. Like, he doesn't care about his fans. And Travis, who cares, Travis Tritt?
Somebody said online, like, is Travis Tritt still making music?
Yeah, right?
No, I don't know. I'm not a country guy, so I can't say.
Well, I don't think he made a lot of friends here when he canceled his last concert.
He does that, dude. He's just, whatever. I don't like people that are just awful to their fans. And to me, he's awful to his fans. So I don't care what you think. Kid Rock did the same thing. I'm not going to go into it, but he was awful to his fans at Bayfest one year.
So I will say, we're going to talk more about Dylan Mulvaney later on in the show. But for me, this is like the weakest of the things you would be complaining about Dylan Mulvaney for, if only because all the beer companies are pro-gay. All the beer companies are pro-rainbow. Who's your alternative going to be? You know, and also, this is like, yes, it's making things odd for their supporters, the drinkers, but of all the things that you would think would be a problem for that particular, you know, lifestyle fit or whatever your brand, beer is the least of them. And by the way, there's a huge Pride Festival in St. Louis every year. Even though it's a very conservative area around it, you know, the city, as you pointed out the other day, rightly so, can be, very pro-rainbow.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. China slaps imposing sanctions against the Ronald Reagan Library, the Presidential Library in Simi Valley, California, and other U.S. and Asian-based organizations. The communist nation angry over a meeting on U.S. soil between the House Speaker and the Taiwan President Tsai Ing-wen.
I think people have to realize it was a bipartisan meeting of Republican and Democrat members of Congress. Remember, we created the Select Committee on China. A number of those members were there as well.
And the Speaker on Fox's Kudlow in Tennessee State House.
Representative Justin Jones of the 57th Representative District expelled from the House of Representatives of the 113th Assembly of the State of Tennessee.
House Democrats Justin Jones, Justin Pearson bounced from the State House by Republicans for storming the floor last week during an anti-gun protest. Fellow Democratic lawmaker Gloria Johnson survived the votes. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31. News Radio 92.3, 69 degrees. It's partly cloudy this morning in Pensacola. Multiple agencies called in yesterday to assist in water rescues involving up to 7 people in Perdido Key. It all happened yesterday afternoon in Sandy Key Drive.
Certainly, rip currents appear to have been active during this time. They're always active, but it looks like a few of these swimmers had, unfortunately, had been carried out as a result of these rip currents.
That's County Spokesman Davis Woody tells us 4 different children were swept out. 3 adults went in to assist. He says that particular area was not staffed by lifeguards until the Memorial Day holiday. Emergency crews from Escambia, Okaloosa, and Orange Beach all provided aid. The Pensacola Blue Wahoos set to open their season tonight.
A lot of familiar faces. You know, these guys are winners. You know, the guys that are coming back. The guys of likes of Nassim Nunez, Sean Reynolds, Will Banfield, Paul McIntosh, all these guys, they contributed so much, life in our dugout in the clubhouse.
And that is Wahoos manager Kevin Randall. He talked with Channel 3. The Wahoos opened their season against the Montgomery Biscuits at home tonight. The team will be presented also with their 2022 Southern League Championship rings from last year's winning season at a ceremony before that game begins. Well, another successful launch for SpaceX. They blasted off a Falcon 9 rocket from Cape Canaveral overnight. It was carrying a communications satellite for Intelsat. University of Miami researchers being credited with finding a new danger posed by COVID. Doctors at the Miller School of Medicine announced yesterday that they found 2 cases where a child suffered brain damage from COVID if it got it from its mother while she was pregnant. The study shows that the children had seizures, small heads, and developmental delays. The doctors say that the cases are rare and they need more time to study to find out exactly why it's happening. It is 5:34, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first warning weather update. We are going to be seeing a nice warm day today with temperatures warming near 83 degrees. Small chance of a stray shower overnight tonight, temperatures dropping into the upper 60s. As you head into your Saturday, showers and thunderstorms expected, 80% chance of rain overall. Temperatures in the 70s for highs overnight, dropping into the 50s. We're going to be seeing a lower rain chance for your Easter Sunday with just a small chance of a stray shower in the morning. Mostly cloudy skies with temperatures in the upper 60s. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, we've got 69 degrees. It is partly cloudy in Pensacola. 72 in Gulf Breeze and 70 in Milton. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
News Radio 92.3 is Pensacola's radio home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. Listen to local talk in your morning and afternoon drive. Local experts during the day with the Pensacola Expert Panel. And national talk with Brian Kilmeade and Dave Ramsey. Listen to local news and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. Along with WEAR News during your afternoon drive and at 10 p.m. We have your traffic on the fives during your commute. And when breaking news hits, we have you covered. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620.
Choosing an early education program is one of the most important decisions a parent can make. Make the choice that is right for your child and your family. Tune in Tuesday at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel and join Ms. Keani Richardson, the director and owner of the Navarre Montessori Academy, as she answers questions. That's Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Travel and Tourism Week starts on May 8th, but Visit Pensacola is looking for your hospitality hero. Someone who made your local experience exceptional. Someone who went the extra mile to serve you or your guests at a restaurant, a hotel, or at an attraction. Nominate your hospitality hero at visitpensacola.com. Your nominee could be standing on stage receiving awards at the Visit Pensacola Tourism Luncheon and recognition online as the area's best. Nominate your hospitality hero today at visitpensacola.com.
Listen to local talk, national talk, local news, and national news on News Radio Pensacola. Online, newsradio923.com, or by downloading the News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
Good morning, 5:36 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and yesterday we had a chance to talk to PPD, PIO, Public Information Officer Mike Wood. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning. We've had a couple of pretty bad incidents, including a young person, a 12-year-old, hit while skating on a skateboard. Is that right?
Yeah, that was yesterday afternoon at 8th and Wright Street, where a 12-year-old male was struck by a vehicle. The driver of the vehicle immediately stopped. 911 was called, and officers and EMS got there very quickly. The individual was injured badly and was taken to the hospital immediately. So I don't have an updated any information on that individual. But, yeah, you know, as we've seen this before. And, you know, I did it. Lots of people did it. Skateboards on streets and you know, while it's a dangerous thing, you know, folks, they're going to do it. And I'll be glad when the skate park opens up and they have another place to go.
Well, I was just going to ask that exact question. Very good of the driver to obey the law and stop and take care of the person, which is, you know, you're obligated to do that. But I'm assuming he was actually skateboarding on the street, which you're not supposed to do, right?
Yeah, that from the information that I have, that's right. I don't have any information on, okay, you know, if he was crossing the street or anything like that.
All right. Well, you know, certainly our prayers for him, and you know, it's just a reminder, you know, watch out, because there's dangerous things on both sides, right? I mean, you know, on both sides. We also had a drive-by shooting at P and Gadsden. Is that right?
Yeah, that was yesterday at the 600 block of P Street. Someone in a vehicle pulled up to this house, and there were individuals on the front porch. And they began shooting from the car, and three people, including a juvenile, were struck on the front porch. And fortunately, none of those injuries were life-threatening. So we're still working on that, looking for information on who the shooter was.
Just one person? That I'm just trying to put it together in my head, because a lot of times what happens is there's, you know, shooting from a car or something, and like nobody gets hit. Because look, if it's a car, if there's a distance to the house and then into the porch and then one person with a handgun, you know, at those kind of distances, it's very hard to hit a person. Do we know anything that would explain? That just seems like a lot. I mean, it's horrible at all, but hitting three people in that circumstance seems unusual to me.
Yeah, well, we don't know if it was a single person doing the shooting or if it was multiple people, or that information has not been given to me. So, yes, it could have been more than one. But right now, we're taking information, any information that we can get on that.
Okay. And you said all non-life-threatening injuries, though. Is that right?
That's correct, yes.
All right. Well, that is very good news. You also had a vehicle that was left running. I know it's your pet peeve. You talk about this all the time, but this was a little different case, right?
Yeah, this could have been a lot worse. It was a vehicle that was left running, and a child was in the car, and a person gained entry into the vehicle. Fortunately, the parents were nearby and were able to stop that individual from taking the car. A tag was obtained, and with the help of the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, that vehicle was stopped and the suspect located a short time later. So it was a good ending to that, but it could have been much worse.
Wow. Yeah, thank goodness. Man, that could have been really, really horrible. I'd also wanted to ask you about the concealed carry changes that are not in effect yet, that go into effect July 1st, but is PPD doing anything different to take note of the situation where, you know, people that without a permit are now going to be carrying concealed at least some of the time? Have you had internal conversations about how that's going to affect your ability to do police work, or even whether, you know, Chief thinks this is a good development in the law or a problematic development in the law?
Well, the officers have been briefed in lineup and roll call about this. They've discussed it about the new law. And again, it's new, so we're going to see where it takes us. But we just want everybody to be safe with weapons, to make sure that they are carried in a safe manner. And like I said, a couple of weeks ago, we had an individual in a bathroom at a bowling alley that the weapon somehow came out and discharged and shot a toilet inside a men's room. So, and there were hundreds of people inside this bowling alley at the time. So we just want everybody that are going to carry to make sure that they're carrying that weapon safely.
You know, I know this will change come July 1st, but I'm curious what the law is now, and I don't know the answer to this. If you're a police officer and you see that, I have a carry, concealed carry, and I'm bending over to pick something up, and it pokes out. Now, the new law it specifically protects you from being arrested for something like that. There's a brandishing provision and all of that. But I'm just wondering, if you see that I have a gun as a cop, do you have the right to ask me to see my concealed carry permit, since that would be a violation of if I don't have one?
If it's concealed, yes, at this point in time. But again, that's about to go away. So
right.
That's something that we're going to adjust to.
Yeah, no, obviously it's going to change in July, but I just didn't know what the rule was on that. I figured the answer was yes, you could, but I didn't know for sure. And one additional note is that the law, when it goes into effect July 1st, right now the law is that if you have a permit, you must carry the permit along with you when you have the gun. But the new law says, obviously you don't have to have a permit, but you still will need to have an ID on you so that police can check if they need to make sure that you're not, for example, disqualified by being a felon. Right, Mike?
Yeah, that's a whole different topic. So you still, no matter what, if you're a convicted felon, can't carry that
right.
weapon.
But you will still need to carry ID. Some people might not realize that's a part of the law, but that still is going to be in place. kind of an interesting moment came up yesterday in our conversation with Mayor Reeves, where we're having this street sweeper name contest, you know, of course. And I had gotten I had seen somewhere or other that there was a comment that, you know, Kevin, like Kevin the minion from Despicable Me, and that, you know, Kevin Christman kind of liked that comment. You know, he's the deputy chief. But I think you were going to weigh in on this also.
Well, you know, we got tied into it because of Deputy Chief Kevin Christman and people thinking that he had something to do with it. I can tell you that I checked with him yesterday, and he said that he did not have anything to do with that. But, you know, Kevin, you've got greats like Kevin Hart, Kevin James, Kevin Bacon, Kevin Costner, and NASCAR's Kevin Harvick. And I looked into it, and Kevin comes from Irish descent, and it means handsome. And if you don't think that a brand new street sweeper isn't handsome, then I don't know what to tell you. So, we are Team Kevin on that naming of that vehicle. And like I said, our Kevin says he had nothing to do with it.
All I took away from that is that you think Deputy Chief is handsome. Did I misunderstand?
Well, no, that's not what I said.
I'll second that.
You put me in a bad spot here. I was just giving you a little history on the name, Kevin. No personal feelings here at all.
Okay. I'm sure he's blushing. I'm sure he's not. Hey, we always like to end with a did you know or a why do they do that or is that even a true thing for cops? You have one for me this week?
Yeah. Can you guess what the most difficult crime for detectives or police officers to solve is?
Oh, the most difficult crime for them to solve. Man, I mean, I have idea. I would think it'd be some form of, no, I don't know. I'm going to sound stupid making a guess. What is it?
It is burglary.
I was going to guess burglary. Go ahead.
All right. Well, see, you would have won. And maybe we would have named a street sweeper after you the next time around. But this one.
Andrew does not mean handsome, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This one, by the way, is, committing burglary, unlike committing a violent crime, is less likely to result in leaving identifying evidence at the crime scene. You know, they usually are committed to stealing items of value, and the victim's identity most of the time is not relevant. So, you know, a burglar may wear gloves to keep from leaving fingerprints, and he's less likely to leave blood at the scene. And they usually choose to burglarize unoccupied homes or businesses, which leaves no witnesses. So sometimes those burglars can be pretty tough to solve.
Wow. Yeah, makes sense. I wish I'd have guessed it. I can't really take credit when you don't try. All right. Mike Wood, he has the public. And, you know, also the things you see on TV for how you would, you know, the various forms of technology, like we talked about last week, are not quite as robust and rapid and easily available and free as, you know, you would see on TV. So that, I'm sure, keeps things a little bit more challenging to solve. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you so much for the time and for talking to us today, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And go, Kevin.
Go, Kevin. it occurred to me after I was on there, I was thinking about how, you know, at some point you might have Chief Randall might retire, might resign, might, you know, whatever. And, you know, Deputy Chief Chrisman might be the next chief or candidate for it. And he would have a fantastic, it's not really a campaign because they don't really have that for, but, you know, he would have a fantastic line he could use. He could be like, hey, y'all should make me the police chief because, I've been cleaning up these streets for years.
That's a great line.
546. Kevin, 546 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. You know, if you're thinking about that next vehicle and where to go, you know, a lot of choices, a lot of questions you got to ask yourself. One of the most basic questions is, do I want to buy a used car or do I want to buy a new car? I mean, obviously. So here's what you do. If you figure out what kind of car you want to buy, you know, you figure out what make, model, whatever. So go to the dealership, look at the brand new car. Get in it, smell it, look at the price tag. Okay, that's good. Now, go to Frontier, take a look at that same car a year later. That same car or 2 years later with low miles and great condition because that's what they specialize in. And, you know, get in it, look at it, smell it, and then look at the price tag and then make a decision. You know, make a decision of how much that smell, temporary as it is worth to you or not, right? That's an adult choice to make. And they have a fantastic selection at Frontier. So they're going to have whatever vehicle it is. They have the 1-, 2-, 3-year-old version of that. And you can save a bunch of money by buying it there. That's what we did. And that's certainly what I recommend and Dave Ramsey recommends. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community with great quality used cars for more than 25 years. Right behind that big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing? These are words you hear a lot about. But what exactly do they mean? How do you get started? Where do you get started? Well, you could start by tuning in to the Pensacola Expert Panel, Monday morning at 10:30. Join me, Tasca King. I'll show you how to navigate the changing and fast-growing landscape of digital advertising. Monday morning at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Stream online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
Good morning. 5:50 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. There is a storm on the News Radio ThreatNet radar that starts in Mexico, like the Mexican border with Texas. And, like, I mean, it's right on the coast of Texas, down past Corpus Christi. And it goes up to, like, past Kentucky on a northeasterly line right across the northern part of the south United States. It does not affect us right now. It might cycle a little bit towards us in the future, but this is an enormous storm. It's like Birmingham and north at the moment, and it's northwestern Mississippi. Well, it's really all of Mississippi except for the coastal parts. So just kind of be aware that that's out there if you're traveling in either if you're traveling west or if you're traveling north today. But also, of course, later on tonight, we are anticipating the possibility of some storms. So just kind of keep your eye on that and be aware that that's happening. We got David Waynes in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Israel says it hit targets belonging to the Palestinian militant group Hamas in southern Lebanon and Gaza.
Israeli jets are hitting targets belonging to the Hamas militant group. The Israelis say they have so far struck tunnels and weapons manufacturing facilities inside Gaza.
And that's NBC's Raf Sanchez, and those airstrikes retaliation for rockets fired from Lebanon into Israel. The Supreme Court has rejected a West Virginia bid to keep a transgender girl from participating in girls' sports. The 2021 Save Women's Sport Act law was challenged by 12-year-old Becky Pepper Jackson, who wanted to try out for girls' cross country and track. And China apparently imposing more sanctions on Taiwan's de facto ambassador to the U.S. Yesterday, Beijing laid sanctions on Xiaobi Kim and members of her family from entering the Chinese mainland, Hong Kong, or Macau. The sanctions follow Taiwanese President Tsai Ing-wen's meeting with House Speaker Kevin McCarthy in California.
Great job on the names, by the way. I mean, like, I know it's hard and...
Yeah, I was a little bit worried
well
about
done.
It. You know?
Well done. That's good. David, thanks so much for the update. Yeah, this issue with the transgender athlete is kind of an interesting case because you had the law in West Virginia that said that somebody is born a male cannot compete in female sports, okay? And basically every level of the court system has disagreed with the prior level of the court system on this one. And it's always been split decisions all the way up the chain. So one court sides, I forget who went first with the, I think the first court went with the state, and then the second court went with the kid, and then the third court went with the state, and then the fourth court went with the kid. You know, like it's been one of those deals. And so the stay has been implemented on there's been a stay put in on the implementation of this law is kind of where we're at the moment. Pending review as it's working its way, because these things never happen very quickly, but you can have a stay put in even though the case hasn't been resolved yet. And so at the Supreme Court level, where the state came in and said, hey, we passed a law, why can't we implement our law? And the Supreme Court decided 7-2 to, and this is not a ruling on the merits of the case. It's not even a ruling on much of anything other than saying that they're not going to, at the moment, overturn or take up the possibility of overturning the stay on the implementation, let alone the constitutionality of the law itself. And there were a couple of justices that disagreed with that, including Alito, because they thought that the lower court, the state court that was the previous appeals level or the maybe it was the appellate court. Anyway, one of the courts had said they didn't give an explanation for why they were justified in putting the stay on. And he said that a court is obligated to give an explanation for why they put a stay on. And that's why he would have not ruled in their favor on this like temporary status of the implementation of the law. It's very complicated legal stuff. But what you might hear in the news is the Supreme Court upheld or the Supreme Court decided that it's okay for a they did not decide that. That question wasn't even before them. The issue was, would they or would they not allow a temporary stay on the implementation of this law to be in place while the case of the law itself gets litigated, moves its way through the court? So anyway, just these things matter a little bit, and I just don't like when, you know, the description, like the headline is not what's actually going on in the news. 437-1620, 437-1620, you're buying, you're selling a home, and you need a good realtor, right? You want to get the most for it on the sell side. You want to get the, you know, best price on the buy side. And Christina Leavenworth, I mean, she and her folks at Leavenworth Realty sold 200 homes last year. That's crazy. I mean, that is unbelievable. 200 homes? More, I mean, in the last 2 years, actually, each year they've sold more than 200. Every year, more than the previous. So here's the reason that matters to you, okay? First of all, you know she's got it down to a science. You know she's going to get the best price for your home on the selling side. And right now, it's harder to sell than it used to be. It's not hard per se, but it is hard to get the best possible price, and that's what she knows how to do. On the buying side, because she knows, hey, this house is going to get this much, and it's going to have these many offers, and some of them are going to be cash at this amount, and this is what investors are trying to do to compete against you if you're you're going to live in it and residence in it. And so she knows exactly what the right price to offer to win the bid, which is what you want. And she says, look, we can even get people, we can get good deals on new homes these days because of the changes in the market. So if you want somebody who's going to treat your home like it is the only home she's representing in terms of giving it her attention, and yet you know realistically that's not happening because she sells a lot of homes at the same time, I don't know how she does it. It's a miracle, but she's very good at it. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 723-9158. It's 5:56 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. D.C. Reeves, in his press conference on Wednesday, which was after our interview with him, was asked about food trucks, something that is going to come up on the next agenda, it looks like.
We've had multiple inquiries into potential food truck pavilions, food truck parks, you know, at scale, you know, in commercial property. And we're a little bit, you know, behind the eight ball in Pensacola. You know, we have surrounding areas, surrounding communities that already have things on the books like this.
We've been trying to figure out food trucks in Pensacola as long as I have lived here 9 years. I mean, this goes back two administrations, like Mayor Hayward. You remember? And then they started doing the, their kind of semi-compromise was the food trucks at City Hall in the parking lot. You remember? And we still don't have any clarity on this stuff. And, you know, the age-old argument is, well, a food truck in a place away from brick-and-mortar restaurants is fine, but a food truck like on Palafox, well, now people pay a pretty penny to have their business on Palafox, and they pay property taxes, and, you know, there's limited and scarce parking for those people, and why would you be able to, you know, just park your restaurant there without having to go through all that process? So it's a, you know, there's a complex series of factors here that we're trying to, you know, accommodate for.
I'm a big believer in supporting and advocating for food truck businesses because, you know, I can speak to it as well as anybody, you know, knowing how expensive it is to be an entrepreneur and trying to become, you know, whether you're a chef or, you know, you want to open your own restaurant one day, you can't just snap your fingers and go get 5,000 square feet on Palafox. You know, that's a difficult lift. And so, you know, there is a lot of, it's really like an incubator for a food, really the personality of food in a city as well as for small businesses.
It absolutely is a great way to try out your concept. It's a great way for a consumer to get food. And it's not cheap because, you know, food trucks are just about as much as a regular restaurant in terms of their price most of the time. But still, it's an experiment. And, you know, entrepreneur, small business, I mean, all of that stuff. And to find out, is there really a market for this? So he says, we're going to look at rules for making it possible for them to be in spaces, you know, that which is happening all over the place. You're seeing this more and more, you know, the kind of semi-pop-up, semi-permanent food truck court kind of concept. You see it on Highway 98, obviously.
We're looking for opportunities to be able to foster that. I think that's a good thing for all of us. So you know, what we're ultimately looking at is a uniform, formal opportunity to have multiple food trucks. But that comes with rules and regulations, and I mean, ours, for example, is going to propose that you have a permanent restroom facility. It couldn't just be, you know, four trucks in a parking lot and a porta potty.
Which is, you know, that's a good plan too, right? Although, in fairness, sometimes, you know, four food trucks on a parking lot with a porta potty or two is enough.
Listen on air at 92.3.